our phone lines. They are open to you right now at 608-321-1310. That's 608-321-1310. Get you right on the air with our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial. Don't forget, you can learn more about Kloss Financial on their website, klossfinancial.com. That's Kloss, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. Fantastic website and resource. If you haven't had a chance to check that out, I would definitely urge you stop on by today. While you're there, sign up for the weekly Market Pulse newsletter. It's a nice weekly email, a little snapshot of what's been going on in the markets. Also, a link to the most recent podcast. Again, that available to you at klossfinancial.com. And their telephone number for the office right here in Madison, 608-442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. Will be complimentary to you. Again, their number, 608-442-5637. And joining us this week are CJ Kloss and Eric Schwartz. CJ, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, Sean. How are you?
I'm doing really good. Eric, how have you been, my friend?
Not too bad. How are things going with you, Sean?
I can't, other than the stuff in the air, that is so bizarre, but that's for another day. But otherwise, doing great. So we're going to be talking this week. This is for folks that say, I wonder what they talk about on Kloss Financial's Money in Motion. I wonder what the program's generally about. They'd probably say retirement. And generally, yeah, we talk a lot about retirement on retirement planning, but often talks about very nuanced areas. This week, we are actually talking specifically retirement planning, and we're going to be talking about pitfalls. So it's going to be a really, really informative program. You're definitely going to want to take notes and pay very close attention for a couple of reasons. One, a program will be exciting, engaging, and a lot of great information for you. But also, if you pay close attention, you'll have a chance to win a fantastic prize with the Kloss Quiz Quest of the Week. Our friends from Kloss Financial have provided a $25 gift card to IHOP. Tell you a little bit later on in the program how you can win that prize. Little tip, as mentioned, listen closely to the program. Just about every show, the question and answer come up during the program. And before we get to this week's conversation about some of the pitfalls and how to avoid them, let's actually look back at last week's program, get the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week and answer there as well.
Yeah, so last week our question was, what is the maximum a 45-year-old employee can contribute to their 401k plan in 2025? Now, this does not include any employer contributions. And Scott from Wanakee knew that the correct answer was $23,500, and that is if you are under the age of 50, and $31,000 if you are over.
And last week's was not a true or false, which, Scott, fine work there. Good work on getting that. And of course, you can be like Scott just by paying attention to the program. Again, we can tell you exactly how you can win a little bit later on in the show. As mentioned, of course, phone lines are open, 608-321-1310. That's 608-321-1310. If you have questions for Eric and CJ, our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial, love to have you join us this morning. So as we kind of get back and do a little bit of a deep dive into things, into retirement planning, we're going to be unpacking 11 pitfalls that can derail your golden years. So CJ, let's talk about ways to kind of steer clear of these common mistakes.
Yeah, exactly, Sean. You mentioned it, but we our kind of niche or our focus as a financial planning firm is all around retirement planning. Now, we work with people across the age spectrum, but our average client, I believe, is right around 66 or 67 years old, which just means that we are really, really well-versed in things like distribution planning and sustainable distributions and Medicare and Social Security. And furthermore, when you operate in this space over 50 years or so like we have, you also identify some clear pitfalls. And so some of those pitfalls that can derail your what we call golden years, or just think your retirement years, are the items we're going to be covering today. So let's begin with kind of pitfall or mistake number one that we commonly see people making in retirement. And that would be, number one, being overly aggressive in your portfolio late in your career. So imagine markets have done well for you over the last 30, 40 years as you've been working, feeling really good about how much return you've received by taking on risk. You understand that risk. You feel fairly diversified. And this is all good. Like, good, good, good. But then you're getting a year or two before retirement and you just kind of say, whatever. Markets, you know, rewarded me. It's all going to work out in the end anyways. Well, for those who don't know, there's this concept called sequence of returns risk. And it has to do with basically the impact of negative returns in your portfolio early in retirement. And does that impact vary compared to, say, an impact of the same magnitude midway through your retirement? And believe it or not, there's just kind of some numeric phenomenons that occur, and we could show you the math on this if you ever wanted to see it, but the numeric phenomenon is if that market correction or severe decline happens early in your retirement where you need large distributions from your portfolio, it can have catastrophic effects to the longevity of your portfolio, aka the risk of running out of money. So mistake number one to avoid is remaining overly aggressive in your portfolio later in your career without slowing down to assess your need for income. Now, mistake number two would be ignoring health insurance costs. So Eric can attest, this is probably the greatest, single greatest driver to when people retire. Now, it's not always because people aren't assessing the cost. It's more just because it's an annoyance. And so what I mean here is that Medicare, for those who don't understand Medicare, we've done entire shows dedicated to the topic. By all means, listen back to our podcast and, you know, just do a little Google search to find our old versions of the Medicare specific shows. But Medicare typically kicks in for Americans at 65 under most circumstances. So if you're retiring prior to 65, you have to figure out what you're going to do for health insurance to cover that gap. And as Eric can attest, it's typically people don't want to retire until 65 because of that component part alone, dealing with the Affordable Care Act or dealing with COBRA, which is just this extension of your group health insurance, or trying to jump onto a spouse's plan, jump onto the VA. These are different things that could apply to you, but it just gets tricky. So what we would say is if you're going to retire, quote unquote, early, which would be before 65 or before Medicare kicks in, you're just going to want to pause and figure out what your strategy is. And some people go, it's all the same. It doesn't matter. Well, let me be clear with you. Be a little more pointed. We have people who have plenty of money who retire early and pay less than $50 a month for a low deductible health insurance plan through the Affordable Care Act. We have other people who very well-to-do, retire early, but didn't plan appropriately and are paying over $1,000 a month for a high deductible health insurance plan. So I don't know, you tell me, does it pay to plan? Is there a difference between those numbers? You get the idea, it matters. You do wanna slow down and make sure you understand the component parts that are gonna impact that health insurance cost before Medicare.
Talking this morning with CJ Kloss and Eric Schwartz. They are our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial. Prime time. If you've got a question, love to get you on the air right now at 608-321-1310. That's 608-321-1310. Gets you on the air with CJ and Eric. Of course, talking this week about some of those retirement pitfalls, working through 11 of them. We got number one, number two, and then, of course, we'll look to number three in just a moment. I got a guess that, making mistakes around planning for taxes, that's got to be a big one as well, isn't it, Eric?
Yeah, this is a space where we see people making mistakes kind of at any stage of life. But looking specifically at retirement, we see plenty of them as well. So I'm going to go through our mistake number three here, which is having some tax blind spots. And specifically in retirement, when we look at taking large withdrawals from retirement savings, maybe you want to pay off a mortgage or, you know, an auto loan, or you just want to take out a large distribution for a down payment. People often forget, yeah, you have that large retirement account right there that you can draw off of. But when a lot of times when you take money out of those accounts, you're paying taxes on it, right? If you have a pre-tax retirement account, you are paying taxes on those dollars. And that can bump you into a higher tax bracket. That can increase your taxable income to the point where it impacts your Medicare premiums, which we'll talk about here in a moment. So just understanding that while you do now in retirement have access to your retirement accounts, and they can be very tempting sitting there, a large balance, but there are tax implications to actually drawing dollars out. Now, another tax blind spot or mistake we see people making is not fully understanding their required minimum distributions. This is a topic we love to talk about on the show a lot. RMDs begin at age 73 for most folks who are retired right now. depending on the year you were born. So, you know, some people are earlier, some people may actually not even have RMDs until 75. But a lot of people don't realize that these mandatory withdrawals from pre-tax retirement accounts and 401ks, they're taxable and they can push you into a higher tax bracket. And if you've actually failed to take an RMD, it can result in a 10 to 25% penalty. And that is on the amount that you are supposed to withdraw from your retirement account based on your RMD for the year. Social Security. This is another space that people misunderstand the tax code. So often people will say to me, well, I'm pretty sure that my Social Security benefits aren't taxable. This is another thing we've talked about on the show, and they are absolutely taxable. So up to 85% of your Social Security benefit can be taxable, and that depends on something called your combined income, which is your adjusted gross income, plus any non-taxable interest that you receive throughout the year, plus one half of your Social Security benefit. So the more income you have from sources beyond Social Security, the closer you're going to get to that 85% number. Now, just a quick note, in the state of Wisconsin here, we do not tax Social Security benefits, but again, the federal government will tax up to 85% of the amount that you receive. Another space in tax blind spots is people passing up the opportunity to do Roth conversions. So we've talked about this before as well. Converting funds from a traditional IRA to a Roth IRA before required minimum distributions begin. And this is often most opportune in low-income years, maybe in the early part of retirement. This can help you reduce your future RMDs and your overall tax liability. But if you just kind of convert dollars and you just pick a number out of the air and say, I'm going to do, you know, $30,000 this year, and you don't do any planning around it or think ahead of time, you can run into those issues we were talking about earlier with large withdrawals impacting your tax bracket, impacting your Medicare premiums. And so we want to make sure we're being much more strategic around it than just saying, I'm going to pick a number this year. State taxes. So I mentioned here a moment ago that the state of Wisconsin does not tax Social Security, but people often overlook the impact of state income taxes because it's just, I think they look at it as you know, small compared to their federal tax liability. But this is still something you want to consider in retirement, especially here in Wisconsin, as it relates to not only your ordinary income from your retirement accounts or your pension, but also in the case of capital gains. So when you're selling positions that have gained value, you pay a federal capital gains tax, and then you also do have some tax due at the state level. Last thing I want to talk about in tax blind spots. This is something called the Medicare IRMA surcharges. So I've been kind of referencing this as we go along. And I know IRMA sounds like the name of a very nice lady, but it is actually a Medicare, we refer to it as a Medicare penalty. So it stands for the income-related monthly adjustment amount. And what this means is once you are on Medicare, if your income exceeds certain thresholds, you actually will pay more for your Medicare premiums. So you're getting the same coverage, but you are just paying higher premiums, which is why we refer to it as a penalty. And the penalty doesn't actually come until 2 years later. So people often forget, like, you know, 2 years later, they'll get their letter from Social Security that tells them what their Medicare premiums are going to be. And they're like, hey, why are these double or whatever it might be. So we want to watch out for our taxable income thresholds and make sure we're not causing problems on your Medicare premium.
And I thank you, Eric, for keeping it clean there. I have a feeling they probably say more than, hey, what are these?
Yeah, yep, exactly.
It's probably things we can't say on the air when they open up that envelope. Really important guidance this morning from our retirement planning professionals, Eric Schwartz and CJ Kloss. Of course, they come to us from Kloss Financial online, klossfinancial.com. That's Kloss, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. And Eric, I know one of the groups you work with are folks with pensions, and you want to be very careful there as well, don't you?
Yeah, that brings us to mistake number four, making what we would call like a hasty pension decision. So we've talked a lot about pensions in the past as well, but if you, when it comes to retirement, a pension is a great tool to have to build your retirement income plan. But you have a lot of choices when it comes to how you draw the pension out, right? You might have the option for what we call a single life annuity, which is a monthly benefit for the remainder of your life. But if you have a spouse, they would not benefit from that pension in the event that you passed away. So it pays as long as you live, but as soon as you pass away, the benefits end. You could also choose what's called a joint and survivor annuity, which offers a reduced payment compared to the single life annuity, but your spouse receives benefits after your death, right? So you agree in the, you know, in the early retirement years, and basically as long as you're alive, you agree to take a lower monthly amount in exchange for the promise that if you pass away and your spouse is still living, they will receive benefits for the rest of their life. Finally, you have the option to do a lump sum payout, which provides, you know, a large sum of cash, but you want to make sure that you're thinking about what you're going to do with that in terms of maybe rolling it over to an IRA and comparing that that financial benefit to what you could receive in some sort of annuity payment arrangement. You need to be able to evaluate the pros and cons of each of those. And our main message here is just slow down. A pension is a huge decision when you're trying to decide how you're going to collect that. And I mentioned a single life annuity and a joint and survivor annuity. There are many variations in between. So work with an advisor, someone that you could trust to make the right decision here, and don't jump to any decisions right away.
Talking this morning with Eric Schwartz and CJ Kloss. They are our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial online, klossfinancial.com. That's Kloss, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. Great website and resource to learn more about Kloss Financial. Their telephone number is 608-442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. It will be complimentary to you. Again, their number is 608-442-5637. We'll continue our conversation with Eric and CJ. We will do that next as Money in Motion with Kloss Financial continues right here on 1310 WIBA. Joined this morning by CJ Kloss and Eric Schwartz. They are our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial. The website, klossfinancial.com. That's spelled Kloss, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. Their telephone number, 608-442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. It will be complimentary to you. Talking about and going through 11 pitfalls when it comes to retirement planning. Just before the break, talked about some pension decisions and hastily made ones and mistakes that can be made there. Eric, what about, speaking of mistakes that can be made, a lot of companies have a matching opportunity there, and sometimes people don't take advantage of that, do they?
No, you're right, they don't, Sean. And that's mistake number five for us today, so leaving your company match on the table. Mm. So if you have a retirement plan, 401k, 403b, whatever it might be, through your employer, and they offer to match a percentage of what you put in or a percentage of your income, and you're not putting money in there, you're not getting the match, you're just turning down free money. Okay, so maximize your contributions to your employer's retirement plan to capture the full company match. So your employer will contribute a certain amount of money to your 401k based on how much you contribute. So for example, it's usually expressed as a percentage of your salary. Maybe it's 3% or even 5%. But let's look at an example here. If your company offers a 4% match, they will contribute 4% of your salary for every dollar that you contribute to your 401k. Now, some companies will match dollar for dollar, while others will do like a partial match. So they'll match half of what you put in up to a certain amount. But the match is often subject to a vesting schedule, so you need to stay with the employer a certain number of years to receive the benefit before it's fully yours. But the most important piece here is if the employer says, I will match 5%, or I'll match every dollar you put in up to 5%, and you only put in 2, well, you're missing 3% of your salary that your employer would match if you just put that extra money in. So mistake number five, leaving your company match on the table. Make sure you are fully maximizing those retirement contributions from your employer.
Talking this morning with Eric Schwartz and CJ Kloss. They are our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial. Telephone number 608-442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. It will be complimentary to you. Again, their number 608-442-5637. Real quick, before we get to CJ, Eric, are there some limits that folks need to know about when it comes to those contributions, when it comes to those plans or those matching?
Yes, actually, we talked a lot about those last week, now that you mention it. Maximum level that you can contribute to your employer retirement plan, it does depend on your age, but in 2025, that limit is $23,500 if you're under 50, $31,000 if you're over 50, and if you are specifically age 60 to 63, you can put away about $34,750.
Great great guidance there. You mentioned, of course, we've talked in great depth about that stuff. If you head on over to KlossFinancial.com, you can listen to that podcast as well as sign up for the weekly Market Pulse newsletter. So, CJ, I got to guess we kind of work our way through some of these mistakes. Many folks don't know the best time to begin their Social Security benefit, or there's other folks are thinking they're just going to keep working indefinitely, and that can be a mistake, can't it?
Yeah. So we're going through, kind of top mistakes we see as retirement planners. And, as you heard Eric talking about there just a moment ago, one of these areas is taxes, which covers so much. But again, I really encourage everybody, if you're not picking up on all of this, by all means, call our office and we can meet with you, or just go back and listen to this podcast, because we're touching a lot of pretty critical elements where we see big mistakes. But you're right, Sean, one of those areas then becomes kind of misunderstanding Social Security, or said another way would be drawing Social Security before you fully understand it. So again, we've done entire shows dedicated to each one of these mistakes. And I would say we've done entire shows to subsections of each one of these mistakes. So Social Security, for those who don't know, and by the way, when I say Social Security, there's actually like four or five different core parts of it. There's SSDI, there's retirement benefits, there's survivor benefits. There's a lot of different parts of Social Security, but I'm just focused on Americans who have a retirement benefit through Social Security. The earliest you can typically draw your own retirement benefit or even off of a spouse's is at age 62. The latest you can draw is age 70. And I shouldn't say that. The latest you can draw is age 70, and then delayed retirement credits end at age 70 or above. And then there's this age right in the middle called your full retirement age that is somewhere between 66 and 67 for all Americans currently. So again, think 62, 67, 70. These are the three key ages relative to Social Security that you should be aware of. The question is, when do I draw? Today's show is focusing on mistakes, so I unfortunately can't go through a full evaluation of when you should draw. That is a personal discussion, not to mention it has a lot of tentacles attached to it around things to consider. If you're interested in that, again, call our office or go to one of our other podcasts where we discuss that. But of course, that leads to mistake number seven, which is relying on indefinite work, or maybe not even indefinite work, but work beyond the typical age. So what do I mean by this? Well, Eric and I often will hear something like the following. Hey, life has thrown me some curveballs, and like, I haven't saved enough, but it's not a big deal. Like, I'll just work forever. And I know people are kind of joking when they say that, but they're kind of serious. And I certainly think that if you got laid off or had a health issue, that you could probably repurpose yourself and do something to generate some income. But our concern is the following, that while it's kind of a joke, it's also some level of almost like haziness in people's planning, because they feel like they're behind and therefore they would rather shove their head in a hole and not just assess the risk and assess what they need to do. And just kind of say, I'll work forever, not knowing what could potentially happen there. So listen, from somebody who does this for a living, meaning I work with people way before retirement, in retirement, through retirement, death to the next generation and the generation thereafter. You get the idea. I have the blessing of getting to see all of these phases. This whole idea that you're going to work indefinitely or just work until you're 70 or 75 doesn't happen very often. I'm not saying you can't, it just doesn't. Because typically either a health issue, an energy issue, and energy meaning like your personal energy, or the employer says, I'm done. And I know some of you are going, well, I'm a high paid salesperson. They wouldn't do that. That tends to happen as well. So who knows? I'm not predestining you. I'm just saying be cautious of that being a core part of your financial plan. We would suggest sit down with a good financial advisor, good retirement planner to actually assess the gap between what you have and what you need so that maybe you can just save a little bit extra and not have to rely on the uncertainty of future work.
What about the kiddos there, CJ? Let's bring them into this conversation.
Yeah, great point. So that leads to mistake number 8, which is prioritizing kids or kids' education over retirement. Again, I get it. I have 3 young children. I used to speak more, I'll say brashly about this, just like, why would you ever do that? Well, now I have children and now I speak a little bit more patiently about it. What I would say is it doesn't change the harsh reality. And the harsh reality is there is a subset of people that we work with who will say, oh, little Johnny or little Susie, like wherever they can get into school, whatever their dream is, we're just here to support them. And Eric and I go, what if they get into Notre Dame? That's like $85,000 a year. That will wipe you out. You will not be able to retire. And they're like, we'll figure it out. Eric and I go, what do you mean? Like, explain to me what you mean by we'll figure it out. So listen, everybody, I get it. I have one child in college right now. I have another one who's in her sophomore year of high school. I get where this comes from. I'm around all the parents at the dance things, the soccer things who say this stuff. And I have to often in my personal life keep my mouth shut because they're not asking my opinion. In my professional life, I get to go on the air and tell you my opinions. So what I would say to you is don't say those kinds of things to your kids. Don't say it's an open checkbook. Because if you do that, you run the risk of prioritizing your children over your own retirement. And here is every single time what we hear from kids of parents who do that. Here's the following. They become adults of their own and they go, if I had only known what my parents were doing, I would have never applied to that school. So said another way, your kids, when they grow and see you in poverty or not able to retire because you put them through an expensive school, all they will say is like, I was a kid, I didn't know. But I would have never wanted to put my parents in that kind of financial ruin. So be cautious, everybody. I'm focusing on education, but this could be other things as well, like paying for private, you know, tutors and everything through the nose and not saving for your own retirement. Find some balance. I love when you're generous with your kids. I'm not anti that, but find some balance to make sure that you can both retire and provide something for your children's future.
Great perspective this morning. Talking with CJ Kloss and Eric Schwartz. They are our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial. The website, klossfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S financial.com. The telephone number, 608-442-5637. Take it down the home stretch. Do the Kloss quiz question. We can also get number 9, 10, and 11. We will do that next as Money in Motion with Kloss Financial continues right here on 1310 WIBA. Joined by our retirement planning professionals, CJ Kloss and Eric Schwartz. Of course, they come to us from Kloss Financial. Online, Kloss Financial. Telephone number 608-442-5637. Talking this week about when it comes to retirement planning, 11 pitfalls that can derail your golden years. Left off at number 8, talking about kiddos. What about, Eric, another area when it comes to retirement planning? Let's kind of get into those areas that we should be avoiding.
Yeah, so mistake number 9 here is excessive portfolio withdrawals. So overspending in early retirement can deplete your savings and cause problems for you down the road. So make sure that you're aiming for a sustainable withdrawal rate. So a good rule of thumb is, you know, to start somewhere between 4% and 5% of your portfolio annually. Of course, this depends on your age and your financial situation and a lot of other things, but that's a good spot to start. But this is a particularly harmful mistake because of something actually CJ mentioned earlier, which is this idea of sequence of returns risk. So these excessive early retirement withdrawals can become a really big problem when you're withdrawing large amounts during a market downturn early in your retirement. Even if markets recover later, which we would expect they would, your smaller portfolio has less potential to rebound, right? So that would increase the risk that you actually outlive your money. And a lot of early retirees these days might need to fund 30 to 40 years of retirement. because people are living longer, and excessive early withdrawals can actually drain your savings that was meant to last a whole lot longer than it may end up doing. And finally, by drawing a lot of dollars out earlier in retirement, you just have reduced compounding. So you're withdrawing too much early, and that reduces the potential of your remaining assets to grow, and that's just undermining the long-term viability of your portfolio. So make sure we are being responsible with the amount we're drawing out of your retirement account early in your retirement years, especially. But the other end of the of your retirement years, so not your early years, but your later years, that's where we come to mistake number 10, which is neglecting long-term care planning. Long-term care costs can be huge. CG and I see this all the time. And it's never anything people want to think about. And it's generally a space where people will make jokes about, oh, I'm never going to go into a retirement home. You know, I'll come up with another solution, and whatever that might be. But people love to avoid this, but avoiding it doesn't make it go away. And failing to plan for potential long-term care needs can devastate your retirement savings. So I'm not saying everybody needs long-term care insurance or anything like that, but make sure you understand how it works and what strategies you can implement to protect some of your savings from the cost of long-term care. So don't avoid this because it's coming for everybody. Our final mistake, number 11 here, is not having a formal retirement plan. Okay, so many people have a kind of a vague idea of how they want to retire, but they don't really ever take too much time to think about it or put it down on paper, so to speak. But putting together a formal retirement plan, it allows you to kind of visualize your goals. Most importantly, it allows you to track your progress. And then tracking your progress, that allows you to actually adjust as you need to as you move through your retirement years. And, you know, this would include, like, your income needs, where that income is going to come from, good look at your budget and your goals. So just remember, proactive planning is the key to a successful retirement. And if you need a place to start, give us a call.
Great day to make that, start that conversation, make that call. I get his pick phone, give him a call, Kloss Financial. Telephone number 608-442-5637. Want to hold on to that telephone number as well. It's time now for the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week. It works like this. Just a moment. I'll ask you the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week. You will then have 30 minutes from the end of today's program to call the Kloss Financial office right here in Madison at 608-442-5637. If you are the first caller with correct answer, you'll win this week's prize, which is a $25 gift card to IOP. This week's Kloss Quiz Question of the Week is this: true or false? Choosing a joint and survivor annuity option on your pension will allow your spouse to receive benefits after your death. Is that true or is that false? Telephone number 608-442-5637. Don't forget as well, that's Kloss Financial's office right here in Madison. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. It will be complimentary to you. Again, their number 608-442-5637. CJ, Eric, it's always great chatting with both of you guys. Enjoy this beautiful day, and we'll talk real soon.
Thanks, Sean.
Thanks, Sean.
Dr. Greer comes your way next right here on 1310 WIBA.